And welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we're going to take a look at MLW Fusion 191, a recap show, hyping us up for the main event of Fightland. But first, the news. The biggest piece of news to come out of this week is the continued deal between New Japan Pro Wrestling and Major League Wrestling. This time around for the December 7th event, one shot, we are getting, this is a strong number two behind Angry Murder Grandpa, in my humble opinion, but it is the return of former MLW World Heavyweight Champion Satoshi Kojima. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the leader of the Bread Club comes home to MLW in the first, full-on official match of One Shot. We have Tom Lawler taking on Satoshi Kojima in what is certainly going to be a low-key banger of the night. I mean, we don't know what the rest of the card is outside of, well, we don't even technically know what's going on with the World Heavyweight Championship as of yet. This has, banger written all over it. And I can't be more excited. This is going to be amazeballs to me. I'm a big fan of Kojima. Let's face it, his social media presence. Also a big fan of Tom Lawler, which I've, made known on this program several times over the years. So I'm very excited for this here match. But that's a couple weeks away. We got news coming out of Fightland, the Fusion tapings surrounding that specifically. So at the Fusion tapings surrounding Fightland, we got three matches announced. The first is going to be a grudge match featuring the return of MLW's number one draft pick of the 2023 draft, Kevin Blackwood. He is looking to get some revenge against TJ Crawford. Crawford is one of two individuals who put Blackwood on the shelf for the last couple of months. Blackwood is looking to, avenge that here. Come a Fusion. Also announced this week, Tony Deppen, who is returned from suspension, will be taking on the returning Nolo Kitano. Kitano's had one match and looked awfully cool in the process in MLW, and Deppen's had a handful of matches, showing himself to be an utter bastard in the process. And last but not least, the returning Zeta Steel is going to be battling Gia Scott. I had totally kind of forgotten what Gia Scott was, and obviously my MLW knowledge has failed me because last year she had a match with Trishadora, but otherwise she's a stalwart of Maryland Championship Wrestling and has had a handful of appearances in Ring of Honor and AEW. So those are the new matches surrounding Fightland. The official fight card is going to be as follows. For the World Heavyweight Championship, Alex Kane defends against Jacob Fatu. In a loser leaves MLW match, Matt Cardona with Mr. Saint Laurent takes on Mance Warner. In a ladder match for the MLW World Tag Team Championship, The Calling battles the Second Gear Crew. In Lucha Libre rules, Rocky Romero and Barbaro Cavernario with Selena De La Renta takes on Mascara Dorada and Ichiban. That is the main card, and then if you want the Fusion fight tapes to go along with that, Tom Lawler and a Mystery Man will be battling the Bombaye Fight Club's O'Shea Edwards and Mr. Thomas, which is a different graphic than has been shown in weeks past. In a thumbtacks pit of death match, Jimmy Lloyd battles the Calling's Jeff Cannonball. Three-way match for the World Featherweight Championship, Jannai Kai defends against Delmi Exo and Tiara James. And then the previous announced match of Tony Deppen and Nolo Kitano. And Zeta Steel versus Jada Scott. And last but not least, a triple threat tornado tag, which is going to be bat poop insane. The main event faces the debuting Wasted Youth and the debuting Lucky 13 and Austin Luke. Of course, this is, at the time of this year taping, going to be this Saturday, November 18th at the 2300 Arena. You can catch it all on Fight Plus. It is totally worth the $10. Is it $10? I think it's $7.99 actually, but either the way, for less than $10, you get like the one of the biggest shows of the month. Plus, let's face it, a bunch of other content as well. So it's not like MLW is the only thing on there. Lots of other shows. Okay. All right. Woo. Yeah, take it down a notch. I'm getting really hyped up after the whole Bread Club thing, man. Love me some Bread Club. But yeah, so tonight, Fusion 191. As per tradition, the last Fusion before the big event is kind of a recap show for the main event of said event. So tonight's episode is kind of a highlight for the Jacob Fatu, Alex Kane main event. Compared to some other things that have happened, by things I mean matches in the past few months that have main evented the major events, this one really didn't have a feud attached to it and really didn't have a whole lot of build, except for a kind of a couple weeks. So they did the best they could. It's going to be a banger of match no matter what. So this particular, we'll say, hype episode, doesn't really kind of have the heart to it some other episodes did. And really just kind of focuses on kind of like the greatest hits of the past couple of months for both competitors. As such, Joe Dombrowski welcomes us to the show. He puts over the Fightland main event, of course, Jacob Fatu and Alex Kane, and kind of describes the path in which the two competitors reached where they are, mostly thanks to Selena De La Renta. The show itself starts off with a defense for the National Hope and Weight Championship at Never Say Never, Jacob Fatu defending the championship against Calvin Tankman. This match starts off hot and heavy. It really doesn't slow down a whole lot. Big attempts at strikes, lots of counters. We do get a strike battle, double over the top rope, brawl around the ring, which like really is Fatu's territory, but Tankman holds his own. At least he holds his own until he misses an apron somersault senton onto a chair. We go to break and we come back. Fatu is on the offensive and just chucking Tankman hither and ho around the ringside. Going inside the ring, Fatu is nursing a knee injury, but it takes too long for him to kind of like smack feeling back into it, which allows Tankman to rebound. Tankman hits a pounce, pounces Fatu so hard. Fatu goes over the top rope, which I love to see. I love me a good pounce, and if you could knock a dude that big over the top rope into the arena floor, it's amazeballs to me, baby. But Fatu is on the floor, of course. Tankman follows this up with a suicide dive outside the ring. Back inside the ring, we get a pump handle driver for a two count. Fatu slips out of a Tankman driver, hits a super kick to the back of Tankman's head, followed up by the handspring. I wrote down a handspring elbow, and I'm like, he doesn't do that. A handspring moonsault, Fatu. Fatu goes to the top rope to go for his double jump moonsault, but his knees give out. We have a fight on the top rope with Tankman climbing up to kind of accost Fatu. Fatu, however, fights back and hits a super Frankensteiner and a Swanton, but only gets two. And like, that was just bloody amazing to see two dudes that big like fight on the top rope like that and get the Hurricane Rana from that high up. Fatu immediately just gets fired up. Tankman also is getting his spirit propped up by the fans. Hits a pop-up elbow, but Fatu's only half sells it, proceeds to immediately run up the top ropes and hits a whisper in the wind. 1, 2, 3, your winner, retaining the National Open Weight Championship, Jacob Fatu. This was a really fun match overall. It was two big dudes slugging it out, throwing each other around. Both of these guys are really agile and can go in the ring. I do lament the fact that Calvin Tankman is no longer with MLW because dude could go, and he may not have been quite as agile as Fatu, but like the dude could take to the air when needed or just flop off the top rope as well. But yeah, really good match to kind of like show what Fatu is capable of, or at least we'll call this incarnation of Fatu what he is capable of, because we haven't seen the proper bloodthirsty Fatu in quite some time since the Contra days ended. From here, we get some bumpers for Fightland, but really going back into the action, we then have Fury Road, Alex Kane versus Willie Mack for the World Heavyweight Championship. This was a deeply personal battle for Mack, culmination of 20 years of work coming to a head for his first quote-unquote pay-per-view main event. Kane playing the antagonist, going for a pie face, slaps Mack. Mack just punches him in the jaw. Ends up going for the cover, only gets two out of it. And Matt Stryker on commentary really kind of puts over the fact that, like, Kane at this point is out on his feet. And honestly, under this logic, the match should have been stopped because Kane was out. Even if he could kick out, he, as Stryker was putting it, couldn't defend himself. But the match was allowed to continue. Mudhole stomps, corner strikes, and a corner senton by Mack. Kane fires up and eats an enziguri and rolls out of the ring. He gets hit with a tope con ilo by Willie Mack. Mack brawls around the ring before Kane finally backs him into the ring apron and the guardrail, follows that up with a German suplex on the floor and an apron splash. We go to break, and when we come back, Kane is on the offensive. A modified T-bone suplex gets a two count, front guillotine, but however, Willie Mack hits a rebound German of his own, followed by, a T-bone of his own. However, Kane sends Mack into the ring post twice and hits a Saito suplex for two. A big lariat by Willie Mack, knee drop, and the Chocolate Thunder Moonsault only gets two out of that. However, Mack does hit the stunner. Kane, though, showing a great ring awareness, rolls out of the ring where Mack promptly dives on him, though. When Mack comes into the ring, Kane kicks the rope, follows that up with a gut wrench suplex, pulls the straps down, hits a big spear for two. Kane goes to the ropes again, but eats a sky high by Mack, only gets two. At this point, Stryker is upset because the referee is like really slow on the uptake on what constitutes a pin from this variation of the spine buster, where basically Stryker's just like, there's physical contact between two men, and one of the men has his shoulders to the mat. That is a pinfall. But Frank Gastineau was really slow to even like try that and use that logic to count the pinfall, allowing Kane plenty of time to kick out. The fans get a fecal chant in because of it. And yeah, that was kind of deserved. That was ref bias. Ripcord Kane Maker, crash landing, only two for that. Kane hits Pater, rolls that into the Fade of Black, rear naked choke. Willie Mack has no choice but to pass out because he can't get to the ropes. And Kane has like a hold of both of his arms at this point. Mack's eyes roll in the back of his head. We get the three arm drops, or it's like two and a half before Gastineau runs away, and then the arm drops a third time, so I guess that technically counts as three. But either way, the winner of this match, and still World Heavyweight Champion, Alex Kane. And this was a good match, obviously. Willie Mack is low-key great. Like, we just don't get to see enough good things about Willie Mack, just because he tends to fly under the radar quite a bit. It doesn't necessarily get a whole lot of like television action in the United States outside of his stint in Lucha Underground. But this was arguably Kane's first real test as World Heavyweight Champion. And he passed. Outside of some ref incompetence, we had a very good match. Oh, all right. So let's take this opportunity to get a quick break and take a pause for the cause, get ourselves an energy drink, be back un momento. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like CASS, drink Raise Energy. All right, we are back. We get the Fightland Control Center. I'm going to skip all that because they're just going to run down the card, and I did that at the top of the show. However, we are moving on to our main event. Mostly clips, but it's good. We'll do it anyway. Tom Lawler versus Alex Kane from Slaughterhouse World Heavyweight Championship. Lawler was a last-minute replacement for Davey Boy Smith Jr., who was supposed to be taking this match, but Davey Boy had a nasty bout of appendicitis and diverticulitis, excuse me, as I try to figure out that word. So he had emergency surgery and was taken out of the match, and I haven't heard too many updates about Dave Boy, so hoping recovery is going well for him. It sucks to be taken out of a match in general, but especially for something of a freak nature such as that. But Lawler picked up the phone, was able to come in, and he is the newest member of the World Titan Federation, and is playing a pretty prominent role in the organization as we speak. However, for this match at Slaughterhouse, we get a lot of testing out. We got tie-ups, and they trade holds and strikes. Jump cut to a big suplex and apron splash by Alex Kane. However, Lawler hits a PK kick outside the ring and strips off his Daisy Dukes to reveal Daisy Duke tights, because that's what it means to be filthy, ladies and gentlemen. However, we get dinner in a show, let's just say that. However, Lawler from there makes a full lap around the ring to hit a PK kick once again. We get a jump cut inside the ring where Lawler is hitting a bunch of machine gun chops in the corner, and tries to lock in a Kimura, but gets suplexed into the corner. Follows that up with a belly-to-belly into the corner as well. We get another jump cut with a big strike battle between the two, which Kane wins with a lariat. However, Lawler takes advantage of a situation, locks Kane up before hitting the nasty knee for only two. Lawler then wastes very little time to lock in his version of the rear naked choke. Kane has some issues with this, trying to break free before finally remembering that he once watched Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 8, bounces off of the corner and gets the pin. 1, 2, 3. Lawler couldn't let go of the hold, allowing Kane to get the pinfall. So the winner of the match, and still World Heavyweight Champion, Alex Kane. Fun match. I really like the match between these two. As I said, I'm a big fan of Tom Lawler. Kane is showing his stripes against all comers at this point. If I have one complaint, and that's just more for this edit, they did a lot of jump cuts, like just for time to make this episode TV friendly, and this was the match that kind of got sacrificed for it. But you know, the edits weren't horrible. It's not like that Rocky Romero match a handful of weeks ago where they're just arbitrarily cutting it and they were all over the place. This one wasn't quite as bad overall. So that's the end of the show. Get another quick like video of kind of like the culmination of Fatu, Kane, and Matt Cardona. He will be next in line, assuming he beats Mance Warner this Saturday. So another clip show to kind of lead us into the pay-per-view. As I said, like I personally am not necessarily a fan of them utilizing new programming to do main event clip show highlights. Because I feel like if anyone who's, you know, watching regularly is already going to be about as hyped as they're going to get for this. Though that being said, that doesn't mean that these aren't more for the more casual viewers who aren't tuning in every single week. And so it does kind of like usually helps get things up to speed. This week was a little bit different, where it was more focused on the matches, just because there wasn't a whole lot of heat necessarily between Kane and Fatu. If you are a week-to-week watcher and you've seen all, if you have your Fight Plus membership and you've seen all these matches, you know, you're not going to get a whole lot out of it. But then again, if you haven't seen any of these matches because you don't have Fight Plus, which again, you totally should, this is new and possibly exciting for you. So I'm going to try not to poo-poo it too much, despite my own feelings, because in the case of this, I am not the consumer that this is meant for necessarily. That being said, though, getting all hyped up for Fightland this weekend, there's a lot of questions that are hanging over the event in terms of, like, where does the company go from here? Obviously, there's been a lot of, talk of releases, and now we have the cloud surrounding Matt Cardona and Mance Warner, where if Cardona loses, like, everything is just tossed for a tizzy in theory. However, that is assuming Cardona loses. But then on the flip side, like, Mance Warner, what happens if he loses? Are we going to have a second gear crew without its leader? Or are they just going to fade off into the sunset, regardless if they win the titles or not? Like, who knows? There's a lot of, like, things that can come out of this whole event, and that's, not even talking about, like, the main event and worrying about the middleweight Lucha Libre exhibition match as well. So, like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff, like, going on here that we're just going to have to wait and see. Luckily, it's just 2 short days away, this Saturday, November 18th, on Fight Plus. So, that being said, I should go, do my prep, stay up all night, just froth at the bit with all the caffeine I can consume. Thank you, Rootless Coffee. Maybe take in some SCW Pro in the process, because MLW Confusion is a proud sponsor of SCW Pro for the next 6 months, actually, 6-7 months. So if you are within driving distance of Eastern Iowa, you should come totally check out the shows. Actually, there's one this coming weekend that I'm going to, miss because of Fightland. Running anywhere from, like, 1 to 3 times a month, Eastern Iowa area, they put on a good show as well. And now have a show on YouTube that comes out every other week at CW Pro at Home. It comes out every other Tuesday. So, that being said, starting to ramble, so we should move along. So, thank you all for listening. I do diddly appreciate it. Stay tuned for the best ways to support this here podcast. And of course, be sure to, like, subscribe. If you're listening on a platform that can leave comments, leave a comment. If nothing else, I know a handful of them allow you to write reviews. So, write a review. Sick me on your neighbor or something. Get some merch. Get a cameo. Do something and I'll be proud of you. Do anything. Listen to this podcast. I'll be proud of you as well. But in the meanwhile, thank you all for listening. I'll see you all next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and is hosted on Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Major League Pod, amongst other shows, on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, as word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts such as this. My social media links can be found in the description below, but Twitter and Instagram are at TheNovaOfCass, TheNovaOfCass, and Facebook is at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at www.kofi.com/Casanova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, you can go to patreon.com/Casanova, whereas for as little as $2, backers get access to the podcast early and ad-free, plus other weekly exclusive content such as athome.exe, the Patreon-exclusive podcast. So, join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn, Alan Schroeder, Alex McCarthy, and The False Prophet, and check it all out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merch at the Confusion Podcast Store on Teespring. For business inquiries such as ads and sponsorships, please email at rzkammerer, that's K-A-M-E-R-E-R, @comcast.net. Thank you all for listening.